And we're holding on page 108 in Brachos, about three lines from the end of the narrow lines. In Osius, it's about two-thirds of the way through Osayin Vav. We've been discussing the story of Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua, Tfilas Avis Rishus, how Rav Gamliel was deposed from the Nisios and Rav Elazar ben Azariah was appointed instead. Now we left off that Rav Gamliel finally went to ask and asked Mechila by Rav Yeshua, and now Rav Yeshua is willing and the other Chachamim are willing to have Rav Gamliel back as the Nasi. So the Gemara says, so again, you have two Girsois over here, the Ein Yaakov's Girsa and Girsa in the standard printed Gemaras. So the first Girsa, the Ein Yaakov's, is Vafilo Hochi, Loi Abrua, the Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Nevertheless, they did not depose Rav Elazar ben Azariah. In other words, they didn't completely depose him from the Nasius. They have a Dorish Rav Gamliel, Tarte Shabsa, the Dorish Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Choda Shabsa. Rather, from then on, Rav Gamliel would darsh in 2 weeks out of two Shabbosim, 2 weeks out of every three, and Rav Elazar ben Azariah would darsh in the one. Or that's the Girsa that Ein Yaakov has. The Girsa in printed Gemaras is more elaborate. Amri, the Chachamim said, Heichi Nevin, what should we do now that we're going to give Rav Gamliel back his job? Na'abre, should we fire Rav Elazar ben Azariah and just completely have Rav Gamliel will be the new Nasi, as it was before? Gemiri, Malan, Bakodesh, Vein, Meridian. But we know that you can only raise in Kedusha, you can't lower. So once Rav Elazar ben Azariah has been appointed, has been promoted to Nasi, then we can't demote him. Nidrush Mar Chada Shabsa, Mar Chada Shabsa. Should we say that they'll switch off and on? Every other week, Rav Gamliel will darshan, and every week in between, Rav Elazar ben Azariah will. Can't also the Kanuyi, that will cause jealousy because Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Rav Gamliel, is going to figure, after all, I was the original Nasi. They deposed me in favor of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, fine, but I should have some advantage over him. We shouldn't be co-equals. Ella Lidrash Rav Gamliel Tlosa Shabsa, Rav Elazar ben Azariah Choda Shabsa. So rather, the decision was that Rav Gamliel will douch in three Shabbosim out of every four, and Rav Elazar ben Azariah will have the one. So we have two different Girsois over here, whether the arrangement in the end was three and one or two and one. Actually Marsha points out that on the face of it, it should be enough two and one. Why did they need to give Rav Gamliel three out of every four? Actually, though, then there's a footnote over here referring to a Marsha and Chagiga, which now the Gemara is going to reference, a line from there, where in fact Marsha there says that it was in fact like that, two and one. So what Marsha's actual girsa was, whether it was three and one or whether it was two and one, we can't be sure. Anyway, Ion Yaakov gives a reason. He says, like this, essentially what they would do is that Rav Elazar ben Azariah would be darshaning once a month. Three out of every four, three versus one, means that one Shabbos out of every month, he'll be the Rosh Hashiva and he'll be darshaning. So that's good. That's good enough, in other words. You don't need to give him more than that. In order to not have Malan Bakodesh for Meridian. So you're changing it from like this, he was the Rosh Hashiva every week, and like this, he'll be once a month. That's good enough. So therefore, they could do that, and they don't need to actually give him two, they don't need to give him one Shabbos for every two of Rav Gamliel's. Anyway, Vahainu de Omamar Shabbos Shomi Hoysa, Shal Rav Elazar ben Azariah Hoysa. This explains a Gemara in Chagiga, in connection with Hakel, which not only, by the way, this is not only the year of Hakel, it's also today's Rambam Shlosh Perakim was about the dinim of Hakel. Anyway, the Gemara mentions over there that Rabbi Eliezer, one time, Talmidim of his came to visit, and he asked, Shabbos Shomi Hoysa. He knew what was, even though this was, we talked about yesterday and the day before, that this is some time after Rabbi Eliezer had been removed from the Beis Medrash over the whole story of Tanur Shalach Noi, but he knew what was going on over there. He kept in touch through his Talmidim to know of everything that happened. So he asked his Talmidim, Shabbos Shomi Hoysa, whose Shabbos was it this week in the Beis Medrash? And they told him it was Rav Elazar ben Azariah's. And then they go on to tell him something that Rav Elazar ben Azariah darshan about Hakel, why it is that you have to have the men and the women and the children. Actually, I take that back. It wasn't Rav Eliezer, it was Rav Yeshua, rather, the Gemara says over there. It was Rav Yeshua. And actually, he was very pleased that they told that, because the explanation they gave over there was that the children are brought litin schal mivyehem to give a reward to those who bring them to Hakel. And Rabbi Yeshua was very pleased with that because that's what his mother did when he was a baby. She took him around told Bate Medrash, and that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says on him in Pirkei Avos Ashrei Yeladtoi for that reason. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua was particularly pleased to hear that they told over this drasha. Anyway, the point is, why is he asking Shabbos Shomri? Because after this, for many years after that, you had that arrangement where you have to keep track of whose Shabbos it is, whether it's Rabbi Gamliel's or Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's. And the Gemara finishes off. That Talmud who started the whole thing, who got the whole ball rolling by asking Tfilas Avos Rishus Seichova, that was Reb Shimon ben Yochai. As we talked about a couple of days ago when we started the story, he must have been fairly young at that time. He can't have been more than he must have been like a bar mitzvah bacher, or maybe a little bit more than that, maybe even a little less than that. Who knows? Because he, after all, he was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, who in turn is a Talmud of Rabbi Yeshua, who features in the story over here. An interesting point why we mention him only at the end. Ben Yehoyada says, because now that we established that, after all, a very good thing came out from it, that now that you have Rabbi Gamliel as the Nasi and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and in fact, he goes on and he explains like this. Now, obviously, it was Min HaShemayim that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah should be Nasi. Now, what would be the normal way that would happen? Would have to be at some point, Rabbi Gamliel would have to pass away, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would get the job instead. Like this, instead, it ended up being this way, that Rabbi Gamliel can still stay alive, and that he and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah will switch off. That was a very great thing. That was a great schus that was brought about. And therefore, now, after telling all of that, now the Gemara wants to highlight who is the Zakkai. We say Gaugel and Schus Ayde Zakkai. Who was the tzaddik who, in his schus, all of this happened? That was Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai.
He also brings here, waited to the end after there was a happy ending.
That's pretty much what Ben Yehoyada is saying, that there was a happy ending, right? But he says specifically the happy ending is like this. Instead of Rabbi Gamliel having to pass away in order for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to get the job, instead he could be alive and he and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would be co-nasi.
Bear in mind, Chaim.
Yeah. Okay. The Mishnah had continued, and the Gemara quotes V'sham l'sofin kol ha'yoyim, that Tfilas Musaf you can daven any time during the day, unlike Shachos and Mincha, which have certain defined times. Amar Rabbi Yechanan v'nikar peshaya, but Rabbi Yechanan says that if a person delays and davens Musaf too late in the day, then he's called peshaya, he's called careless. Really, it's supposed to be you should do like what Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah and daven it by the seventh hour of the day. So the Gemara tells in this connection, Rabbi Zeira ki avich cholish megiusei, when Rabbi Zeira would be weak and tired from his learning, Hava Omer, he would say, Ezo ve'esav ha'pischa deber Rav Nosson bar Tovia, let me go and sit by the door of the house of the yeshiva of Rav Nosson bar Tovia. Omer, and what's the point of sitting there over there? Omer, Rabbi Zeira said to himself, Ki chalfi rabbonon, when Chachamim passed by, going in and out of the Beis Medrash, Eikom mikamayhu, I will stand up in their presence and thus fulfill the mitzvah, v'hadar to pnei zakin, v'akabo agra, and that way I'll receive a reward from Hashem. Now, first of all, you notice two interesting things over here. First of all, what is he doing a mitzvah in order to get a reward? What happened to Shaloi Amanas the Kabbal Pras? So there's a famous answer that the Bnei Yisoscha gives that from based on earlier sources, the Pasuk says when it introduces this mitzvah of standing up in front of a Talmid Chacham, the expression is Bnei Seva Tokum Baudat Bnei Zakin V'yareisa Me'alekecha Ani Hashem. So one way of understanding that is that it means the schar for standing up in honor of Talmid Chachamim will be the Yoreis HaMelekecha, that you'll get greater Yiras Shemayim. That was the schar that Rabbi Zeira is looking forward to, that he should increase his Yiras Shemayim. Another interesting thing you notice is you see how wearying learning Torah is supposed to be on a high level like Rabbi Zeira. You see that to get up in front of every person that's coming by, every time a Chacham was coming by, would be less tiring than sitting and horving over a piece of Gemara. Anyway. Nafak Asir Rav Nosson bar Tovia, Rav Nosson bar Tovia, the Rosh Yeshiva himself came out, or not the Rosh Yeshiva, one of the senior Chachamim. This was his house, after all. Omar Man Omar Halacha Bein Medrasha. So Rav Zeira asks him, who said the Halacha in the Beis Medrash? Meaning the Gemara has just discussed before that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're supposed to daven Musaf by 7 hours. And we said, Rabbi Yochanan said that if a person davens it after 7 hours, it's called a Peshaya. Who was the one who said that in the Beis Medrash? Omalei, so Rav Nosson bar Tovia answers him, Hachi Omer Rabbi Yochanan Chola, Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. Actually, what it is the Gemara had talked about, consider, for example, we know that the earliest time that you can daven mincha is half an hour after chatzos. Now, Musaf, we say you can daven until 7 hours. So what happens if 6.5 hours in the day have come, it's time for mincha, it can also be time for Musaf. So the Gemara is discussing, so the halacha part of the Gemara had discussed which one should you daven first. Should you daven Musaf first or should you daven mincha first? So Rab Nosson Bar Trubia said that Rabbi Yechanan had said, Ein halacha ka Rabbi Yehuda, da'amah mispal lorim shom Musaf, v'achakach mispal shom mincha. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, that in a case like that, you should daven Musaf and then mincha. Rather, in that case, you should daven mincha first. Now, it does bring that in Shulchan Aruch. However, it says you shouldn't do that b'tzibur, because in the b'tzibur, it's going to be very confusing. People are going to daven mincha, and then you're going to daven Musaf. But b'yichidus, in principle, this is what you would do if the time for mincha has already come. Omalei Rabbi Yechanan Omra. So Rabbi Zera asks Rabbi Nosson, is Rabbi Yechanan the one who said that? Omra le'ein. And he says, yes. And he learned it from him 40 times. He repeated over. He repeated over. We had Rav Nosson repeat over to him 40 times that it was Rabbi Yochanan who said that. Amalei. So after that, Rav Nosson asked him, why are you so interested in that halacha? Chada hilach? Is this a one thing for you? Meaning this is the only thing you ever heard in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore you consider it particularly precious to you, and therefore you wanted to hear it again and again. Or is it something new to you that you thought there was one of the other Chachamim who said it, and now you're surprised to hear that it's Rabbi Yochanan said it? Rabbi Zera answers, it's new to me. Mishum de Masapdali, Rabbi Shurban Levi. Because up till now, I had a suffix. I thought Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi is the one who said that. Now you're telling me it's Rabbi Yechanan who said that. So therefore, that's something new and exciting to me to know who actually said it. So now the Gemara continues in this connection. Omar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Rashi, by the way, makes a point. It's not De Omar. De Omar would mean that we're continuing. What made Rabbi Zera think that Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi said this? Because there's something else that Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi said in this connection. Rashi is pointing out, though, that it's not like that. The Gemara is now saying a new thing. Now that we established who it was that said that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, as far as that matter of the order of Musaf and Mincha, now, by the way, the Gemara is mentioning a separate thing that Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi said regarding somebody who delays davening Musaf. So Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Kol Mispalel Tefilah Shel Musaf La'achas Sheva Shoyes for Rabbi Yehuda. Anybody who, according to Rabbi Yehuda, davens Musaf after Sheva Shoyes, where Rabbi Yehuda says you're really supposed to only do it until 7 hours. So according to him, when you're davening after that, you're late. All of Akosav Omer, on such a person, the pasuk says, Nuge Mimoyed Asafti Mimeich Hoyu. So literally, let's translate. Nuge means sad. Mimoyed from the Yomtiv, Asafti, I've gathered, Mimeich Hoyu, they were from you. There's a pasuk in Sfanya, one of the Tereyosar. It was actually in yesterday's Shlosha Prakim of Rambam that the Rambam quoted it in connection with we know that during the Shalosh Regalim, you have to bring Korbanos when you come to the Bes Mikdash, and Ola Suriya, Shami Chagiga, you're supposed to bring them on the first day that you come. And if you delay them, then the Rambam says, the Rambam learns from our Gemara that it's not a good thing. So the Gemara says, "My mashma dahai nuge lishna de tavrahu." Where do we see that the word nuge, the first word of this pasuk, refers to breaking? In other words, a punishment. So the answer is kedem atagrim of Yosef. If we look in the Targum of Rabbi Yosef, now the Targum on Nevi'im is not actually from Rabbi Yosef. The Targum on Nevi'im is from Yonas and Ben Uziel, who was a couple of hundred years before Rabbi Yosef. The reason why the Gemara often attributes the Targum to Rabbi Yosef is, Meforshim explained, Rabbi Yosef was blind. We know from various places in Shas. Now, therefore, he couldn't learn Torah Shebichsav, because Torah Shebichsav, you're not allowed to learn Baal Peh, just as in those days, you weren't allowed to learn Torah Shebaal Peh from writing. So therefore, he couldn't learn Torah Shebichsav. Therefore, he had to focus on Torah Shebaal Peh more. And that means when he wanted to learn Psukim, he would focus more on the Targum, which at that time was part of Torah Shebaal Peh. So therefore, he became an expert in it. So therefore, the Gemara often speaks of as he translated it, even though really the Targum actually comes from Yonas and Ben Uziel. Anyway, he translates, Tavra osi al senehen de Beis Yisrael, breakage, meaning punishment, will come on the enemies of the Jewish people, which is the Gemara's usual euphemism for the Jewish people themselves. Al de echru zimne mayadaya de Yerushalayim, because they've delayed the times of the Yom Tovim that are in Yerushalayim. So what does this have to do with what we said? So Rashi explains that we're saying that we're talking about a person delays Musaf. So therefore, we're talking about another exactly that. The person delays the time of Musaf, which is supposed to be Davin, which is supposed to be Davin at a certain time of the day, and he delays it, and therefore we're saying that, therefore, all of our Kosovoim, and then the Pasuk warns that such a person is subject to the punishment that it says in this pasuk. So in fact, Tosfos also points out that you can't very well say that it means that they delay the actual Yom Tovim, because there's no such thing. Once the Yom Tov is over, then it's gone. There's no delaying it. You can't say you postponed it to another day. Therefore, that's what forces the Gemara, that's what forces the Targum to say that we're talking about, when we say the times of the Yom Tovim, we have to mean the time of the Musaf that is said, that is said on Yom Tov. With that said, we said in yesterday's Shlosh Parakim of Rambam, the Rambam takes it in a different sense. It is referring to the Yom Tovim themselves and to their korbanos, but not that a person delays them completely beyond the Yom Tov. It's true, then you can't speak about delaying them, then over zmanet boto korbanoi, but rather we're talking about that a person delays them within the time, within the Yom Tov itself, instead of bringing them on the first day, he gets around to bringing them on the second or third or whatever day. And in any case, the point is, from our Gemara, so we see that you're not supposed to delay Musaf. Musaf, after all, Marshal points out, is supposed to be in place of the Korbanos, so therefore you're supposed to daven it in time. There is a point Yaakov makes. So why don't we say the same thing about Shachris? Why don't we say if a person delays Shachris, which also corresponds to the Talmud Shal Shachar, then also there's something bad about that. The answer is, at least with Shachris, you can say, look, you know, the person was tired, he slept in. But Musaf is in the middle of the day. What's he doing? By that time, he's certainly not going to be asleep. Therefore, there's less of an excuse. The Mishnah says, Reb Nechunya ben Akona hoya mispawal b'kmesasya l'veis ha-medrash or v'itziyasya tfilak tzara. When Reb Nechunya ben Akona would enter the Beis Medrash, and when he would leave the Beis Medrash, he would say a short tefillah each time. Amrulay mam mokim l'tefillah zuz, and I asked him, where's the place for this tefillah, meaning what exactly is the nature of this tefillah that you're davening about? Omalahem. So he answers them, "Bikisasi, when I come into the Beis Medrash, ani mispalo shala yera takola al yodi. I daven that there shouldn't be a stumbling that happens to me, meaning, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, that I shouldn't paskin wrongly, and people are going to follow me and act wrongly. Uvitziyasi, and when I leave, ani noisin hadar chelki, I thank Hashem for my portion that I have the schus to be learning Hashem's Torah. So the Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, we learn in a braisa, the details, but misase mahu emer, what did he say when he entered the Beis Medrash? He says, Yirotzin mefanach Hashem alikai, may it be your will, Hashem, my God, shalo yera dvar takola al yodi, that there shouldn't be any stumbling that happens through me, v'lo yakosho b'dvar halacha, I should not trip over in a matter of halacha, meaning to paskin halacha wrongly. Ben Yoyada makes an interesting point in this. Aren't those the same thing? If he stumbles in halacha, other people are going to follow him and it's going to end up being wrong. So he says, not necessarily, because what you could have is, you could have for a koshel b'dvar halacha means that the person, that the chacham actually paskins wrongly. He forgot a certain source or he misapplied it or whatever, and therefore he ends up paskining halacha wrongly. Takola al yodi would be something else. He's paskining according to the, it's paskining api halacha, but he doesn't realize, for example, that the edim were false edim or that the evidence was wrong or whatever. So therefore, he's davening for that as well. And he mentions in that connection a story involving the Beis Yosef and the Rama, where one time there was a case of a man had disappeared and they need edus that his wife can remarry. Akitsu, there was such edus, so the Beis Yosef, I don't remember which is which, but between the Beis Yosef and the Rama, one of them allowed her to remarry and the other one did not. I think the Beis Yosef said no, and the Rama said yes. So the Beis Yosef, as we know, had a magid, he had a malach who would come and teach him secrets of Torah and no such things. So this magid comes and explains to him, he says, Your understanding of the halacha is correct. Based on the evidence that was brought to you, she should be allowed to be married. However, the fact is the edim had misseen. They thought they recognized that it was him, and really it was somebody else. So therefore, so now, in order that there shouldn't be a takala, in order that it shouldn't come out that she's going to marry, and then that is why that Amar ended up paskening min hashamayim. He was helped to realize that and to pasken that she can't be married. Meanwhile, as far as you, the Beis Yosef, don't worry that there's going to be a takala through you, because meanwhile, the Magid tells him that Eibishter has arranged that the guy dropped dead from something else. So in the end, now his wife is allowed to be married, not because of the psak that you said, but because in any case, he's dead now anyhow. So this is what we mean. In other words, so you can have, you paskin correctly, api halacha, but nevertheless, the facts that were presented to the Rav are wrong. So he's davening about both of those things. So, and he continues, v'yismuchu b'chaveray, and my friends would be happy about me. Now, Rashi explains that v'loya kosher b'dvar halacha v'yismuchu b'chaveray is one long sentence, or one long clause, meaning, if I were to stumble in a matter of halacha, if I were to decide the halacha wrongly, my friends would be happy against me that look, we showed him up. So that would be two bad things. Number one, that he paskin wrongly, and number two, that his friends are then going to be punished min hashamayim for being happy on him. Maharsha says that's not what it means. It means it's two separate things. He's asking, number one, shalaya kosher b'dvar halacha. I shouldn't stumble in passing in halacha. Number two, that in general, yismuchu chaveira, yismuchu b'chaveira, my chaveira should be able to be really besimcha about me that I paskin correctly. So not like Rashi says that it's the result of me paskining wrongly would be the yismuchu b'chaveira, but rather two separate things. When I do the right thing, then they'll be happy with me that I did the right thing. Anaf Yosef brings over here a point from a tshuva of Chassam Sofer. There's a tshuva of Chassam Sofer that he wrote to the Maratz Chayus. They were contemporaries. The Chassam Sofer was a rav in Pressburg. The Maratz Chayus was a rav in Zalkva. Anyway, they were contemporaries. So there's a tshuva. There's probably more than one, but anyway, there's a long tshuva in the Chassam Sofer's tshuvas that he wrote to Maratz Chayus discussing different things from all over Shas and Poskim. It's a long tshuva. Anyway, at the beginning of it, he explains, and then Anaf Yosef brings it over here briefly. You can have like this. We have cases in the Gemara where a Chacham was paskining something and he was about to paskin wrongly, but then another one of the Chachamim showed up and was able to correct him. The Gemara brings an example from a Gemara in Bava Basra, where Rab Elish had paskin something, and then Rava showed up at the last moment and corrected him. And the Gemara says on it the expression "Ani Hashem v'ita achichena." Hashem sends things quickly at the right time. Bashgacha brought this that Rava showed up in order to correct Rab Elish. So now, what would happen? So now Rava is happy that he was able, that he had that schus to save Rav Elish. That's the, on the other hand, what Rabbi Chunni ben Akana is davening over here is there shouldn't be such a situation. It should rather be that I'm able to figure out the correct answer on my own without needing somebody to come in at the last moment and save me from making a mistake. That's the b'yismuchu b'chaveray, that they shouldn't be, that they have the opportunity to be happy that they saved me from a serious mistake, but rather that I should be able to accomplish that on my own. Anyway, he continues. That's what I'm saying. By Rashi, it's one sentence. By Marsha, it's two sentences. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He asks Hashem, I shouldn't mistakenly say on something that's Tohar, that's Tomei, that on something that's Tomei, that's Tohar, or something that's Tohar, that's Tomei. And my friends, the other Chachamim, should not stumble in a matter of Halacha, and I'd be happy against them. Again, according to Rashi, that would be one long thing. It shouldn't happen that they stumble in a matter of halacha and I will then be happy that they made a mistake and I was able to show them up, because that would be a bad thing. Or according to Maharsha, two separate things. They shouldn't stumble and I should have the ability to be happy with them with what they accomplish in Torah. So that was Rav Nachum ben Akana's tefillah when he would go into the Beis Medrash. When he would leave the Beis Medrash, he would say, I thank you, Hashem, my God, that you made my portion be among those who sit in the Beis Medrash. You didn't make my portion among the people who sit on the corners. Now, what are the people who sit on the corners? Rashi says two possibilities. It can mean storekeepers who sit on the corners and are selling things, or it can mean Amei Aretz who are sitting on the street corners and stand talking dvarim and talking and chatting with each other. Yad Yosef, by the way, brings a girsa from the Yerushalmi that you didn't make my portion among those who go to the theaters and the circuses and those places of goyish entertainments. And he continues, Shehei mashkim and v'ani mashkim, they wake up early and I wake up early. But the difference is, hey mashkim and l'dvorim b'talim, they wake up early for unimportant, for silly things, v'ani mashkim l'divei Torah, whereas I'm getting up early for words of Torah. Ani omel v'hema melim, I'm working hard and they're working hard. Ani omel makabel schar, I work hard and I receive reward for it. V'hema melim, v'ena makabel schar, they work hard and they don't get a reward for it. Maharsha refers to a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which actually there was the project Lekutah Sicha from a couple of weeks back from Lech Lecha was on this Gemara. The Gemara says over there, Adam Omo Yulad, a person is born in order to work hard. It's possible from Iyad. What kind of Omo? We would think it means Amal Mawacha. And we have a pasuk that says no, it means omal involving the mouth. Then we would think it means amal sticha, the work of speaking. And no, we have another pasuk that explains it means the amal Torah. And there's a sicha there in Chelek Tesvav where the Rebbe analyzes this in some detail and explains that really you do need all three. A person needs amal malacha. That's why he mentions over there from a medrash that Abraham was very impressed when he came to Eretz Canaan. He saw the people are working hard there to make a living. That's the first thing a person needs is to tackle work in the world in order to improve it. Ashabara lekim la. Then higher than that is amal sticha, is the human touch that you put into it. Only people can speak, after all, not animals. And sticha in that connection also means davening. So it means also the avoda of davening. And then highest of all is amal Torah. And then if it goes into a discuss over there, you need them and you need all three and you need them davka in that order. So now he's saying that ultimately they're amelim, they're omel in the first two, in malacha and in sicha, but they're not getting the full schar of it. I'm omel in Torah, and therefore I have the best of all of them. There's an explanation from the Chafetz Chaim also that after all he says so. What, they don't earn a living from it? They don't make a profit from it. So he says the vort is. You have a person is working in a job or whatever. So he was working, and in the end it didn't work out. Is he going to get a schar for it? No, the fact is it didn't work out. The thing didn't come out the way he wanted to. Whereas with Torah, just the fact that you're sitting and learning and holding over Torah, even if you don't come out with a correct conclusion, I'll be Torah, nevertheless, the effort itself, you get schar from the Eved. Anyway, he continues, Ani rots v'hem rotsim. I'm running and they're running. Ani rots l'chaya olam haba. I am running toward the life of olam haba. V'hem rotsim v'ver shachas. And they're running to the pit of destruction because they don't realize what they're here in this world in order to accomplish. Eitz Yosef brings over here from Rabbeinu Yonah on the reef over here, who says that Ani rots also means that I realize I'm running and I'm getting closer and closer to the end of my life. Therefore, I'm making sure to prepare provisions for myself by learning Torah all the time. Whereas Heim rotsim, they're running and they don't realize that they need to be preparing an Olam Hazeh, that to Olam Hazeh Derma LeProizder, that this is the world in which to accomplish in order to accomplish things for Olam Haba. They're not realizing and they're wasting their time in this world. So we don't mean, so we can mean goyim, we can also mean, so to a certain extent, it can mean goyim, it can also mean yidden, who are not living up to what they need to. They're not going to end up in Be'er Shachas forever, of course, Chas V'Shalom, but nevertheless, the point is, they're not realizing that they need to prepare in this world, because they don't realize that they're getting closer and closer to the end of their time in this world. Whereas he says, I realize that, and therefore, I need rots l'chayim haba, I'm running. As I'm in this world, I realize that I'm getting closer and closer to Chayyan Abba, and therefore that I have to prepare for that. So the Gemara continues, Tanan Abban, Shechola Rabbi Eliezer Nichnesu Tamidim Levakle. When Rabbi Eliezer was sick, his Tamidim came to visit him. Amrullah, they said, Rebbe, Lamdenu Urchis Chayim, Rebbe, teach us the ways of life, V'nizkabem L'Chayyan Abba, through which will be Zoycha to Chayyan Abba. So in other words, they're asking for general guidelines in avoda that through that they should be zoicha to chayyeh olam haba. So Amalehem, he says to them, Yizor b'chavod chavereichem, be careful with the kavod of your colleagues. And the Rif points out that Rabbi Eliezer himself, first of all, we have in Pirkei Avos also, Rabbi Eliezer says, the first thing he says, you have over there each of the five Talmidim, says three things, and the first thing he says is, Yehi chvod chaber achav alach shalach. But we see, in fact, in Rabbi Eliezer's lifetime, he ran into that. You have the whole story of Tanu Shalach Noi, where he was maintaining his opinion against all the other Chachamim, and they eventually, as we said before, threw him out of the Beis Medrash and put him in Nidui. So therefore, he had very good reason to say to his Talmidim, that a person needs to be careful with the covet of his chaver, meaning, in other words, he's regretting that it came to that, that they didn't treat him with the proper covet and vice versa, and therefore you be careful about that for the future. Then he continues, Uchshatim mispalim, the next thing to be aware, also, by the way, when you say, Yehichvod chavercha chavra lachak shalach, chavercha actually can also include Hashem himself. Eitz Yosef points out, you have, for example, the famous story of the ger who comes to Hillel and says, teach me the whole Torah on one foot. And then Hillel tells him, Daloch Sani Vachavach Loisavid. So Rashi says over there, that covers the mitzvah Shemin on Machaberi. How does that cover the mitzvah Shemin on Lamachdim? And he said, because we find Psukim where Hashem is referred to as our friend. So therefore, Kvod Chavercha can also mean to be careful of the covet of the Eivishta. Second of all, Rabbi Eliezer tells them, Achshatim Mispalim, when you're davening, be aware before whom you're davening or before whom you're standing, meaning realize that you're standing in front of Hashem.
By the way, the Rabbi explained that there also the idea of Chava, which is Eivishta, in the way of Ali Parada Dame Chavor, Mitoch Dualoch, is in Shaman.
So Ali Potter means Hashem. We're actually going to have that line. Ali Potter Elam B'Toch Dvar Alocha. I think we're going to have it at the beginning of the next. Yeah, I think we're going to have it actually at the beginning of the next parak. So we're going to have it in a few days' time. That's Hashem. So he continues. So when you're davening, be aware before whom you're standing. Be aware you're standing in front of Hashem. And therefore, daven with that appropriate kavana. The third thing he tells them, Uminu bnechem min ha-higoyen. Keep your children away from higoyen. Now, what is higoyen? Rashi himself gives two explanations. One, that it means Tanakh. The problem is, now what's wrong? Tanakh is a very good thing to learn. The problem is it's very absorbing. It is. Tanakh is very fascinating, by the way. However, if you learn it exclusively, you're not giving enough time to Mishnah and Gemara and Halacha and whatever. And therefore, in other words, you have to strike a balance. You have, for example, you have the Gemara in Kiddushin that says that you loyal Mishalosh Adam Mishnoisim. A person should spend one third of his time on Mikra, one third on Mishnah, and one third on Gemara. So therefore, according to that, Rabbi Eliezer is warning them to not upset that balance. The second explanation Rashi says is Higoyen means children's talk. So the silly kind of things that kids talk about, try to keep your kids away from that and into talking about more substantive things. Then in parenthesis over here, it brings from the Aruch that it means specifically, as far as Psukim, it means when they learn Psukim Kitzurosam, you learn the Pasuk exactly as it's written without looking at the Pirushim of Chazal on it. So there are many Psukim that you can misunderstand. There are many Psukim that if a person learns them Kitzurosam, it can bring them to actual apikursis. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is warning them against that. There are many examples. I mean, you have, for example, all the psukim that describe Hashem in human terms. You have psukim of Maisim Merkava. You have psukim that all kinds of things. Yeah. Anyway, you have psukim that on the face of it seem to contradict things in Chumash. You have, for example, all those psukim in Yechezkel and in other places that on the face of it contradict things in Chumash. And the Chachamim had to spend a lot of effort explaining what they actually mean. So those are the kinds of things that a person could easily come to wrong conclusions just reading them superficially. Yeah, that's something else. That's misreading the pasuk. That's something else. But yeah. Anyway, there's an enormous number of other explanations what higoyen means over here. Among the many other explanations are, there's an explanation from the Gaonim that it means philosophy, specifically the philosophy, rhetoric, that kind of thing, like those kinds of things. There's an explanation, Ben Yehoyada says that it means goyish history. And then there's many, many other different explanations of what exactly it means. But in any case, it's something that Rabbi Eliezer is telling his Talmidim, it's not really good for your children. For an adult, maybe once a person has learned, as the Rambam puts it, mile kresa, filled up his stomach with the bread and meat of Torah, then maybe there's room for these things, but not in the child's curriculum. Then he continues, b'hoshivum ben birkei tamid chachamim, have your children sit between the knees of tamid chachamim to learn Torah. Marashar explains, this goes together with the previous thing. So you're saying these little kids, they're not old enough yet to be learning Mishnayos or Gemara. But you're saying, but we just said, Minu b'necha min ha'igoyen, don't have them learn Tanakh too much because it's going to be too absorbing. Well then, what are they supposed to do during that time? They're going to go bottle. So the answer is no. Have them get used to being around Tamid Chachamim, and that alone, like we said before, with Rabbi Yeshua, that alone, they'll develop Midas Tovis from being around the Chachamim. And later, as they get older, they'll be ready for Mishnah and Gemara and so forth. And he finishes off with doing such things, you will be zoicha to chayyeh olam haba. Then the Gemara continues. Now, when Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was sick, Nichnasu Tamid of Lavakra, his Tamidim came to visit him. Kivin Shirois from Hischo Bahoyra Boycha or Livkos. He saw them, he started crying. Omrulabenu. So they asked him, our Rebbe, Ner Yisrael, the light of the Jewish people, Amud Hayimani, the right pillar. You have an in front of the Heichel, there were two pillars that Shloimeh put up called Yochin and Boyaz. The right one in Torah is always the stronger and the better one. So therefore they're comparing him to that. Patish Achozak, the strong hammer. Marsha explains that these three expressions that they're using in praise of him, Ner Yisrael is because of all the mitzvahs that he accomplished. Amud HaYimani, as we know, he saved the Jewish people at the time of the Churban. Ten liyavne b'chachameha. So he was the pillar that the whole Jewish people from then on rests on. And Patish HaChozak is because he was tremendously strong in knowledge and analysis of Torah.
So Yamin stands for Torah. Small is for davening.
Okay. Yamin is for Torah. Yeah. Mimina yesh das lama. Yeah. Yeah. So they ask him, Ma ata boche? Why are you crying? So he answered them, Ilu lifne melech basav adam hoyu my lichino. See, if they were bringing me in front of a human king, shayoyim kanu mocha bekeber, where after all, a human king is here, he's here today, and tomorrow he's dead and in the grave. Shem kos alai en kase kasolam. And a human king, if he's angry with me, his anger is not forever, because eventually he drops dead, and then all of his policies are canceled. V'imosrani en isura isroelam. And if he arrests me, he can't arrest me forever, same thing. Or even if I do die before him, then still you'll have like Maram Rutenberg or whatever, where his body gets many years, gets out of jail many years later. It's not going to be there forever. And even if he kills me, it's not forever, because there's going to be a tres amesim. And a human king, I can always appease him with words. I can always talk nicely to him and calm him down. Or I can bribe him with money. Even knowing all of that, I would still cry if I'm going before him, because I would be frightened of what's going to happen. Now I'm being brought in front of the King of Kings, Hashem. He's alive forever, unlike a human king. If he's angry with me, his anger will be forever. If he arrests me, then it'll be an unrest forever. If he kills me, then it's an eternal thing. Why the three different expressions? One point is Ben Yehoyada mentions, because you have three different things that can happen to the neshama after a person passed away. You can have kores, you can have gilgul, or you can have gehenna. So therefore, so he's mentioning all these three things. The ein ani yachol afaisib dvarim l'shoch dibamamen. I can't appease Hashem with words, and I can't bribe him with money. Which means Marsha says, while I'm alive, I can do that. I can do tshuva. That's bribing Hashem with words. That's appeasing Hashem with words. I can daven. That's appeasing Hashem with words. I can give tzedakah. That is, so to speak, bribing Hashem with money. There's even a medrash actually that says that Hashem. We say that Hashem doesn't accept bribes, but that tshuva, in a certain sense, is a bribe. There's a sicha where they never talked about why that is, because you can even have a person's tshuva is not so sincere. So in that sense, it's like a bribe, and Hashem still accepts it. But Rabbi Yochanan is saying, after I'm gone, I don't have any ability to do such things. So the loy oid. Not only that, he says, Elo sheyesh lefanei shnei drachim. There are two roads in front of me. Echad shal gehenim ve'echad shal gan eden. One leading to gehenim, the other leading to gan eden. The eni yadeh be'ezayim melehen melechinoisi. I don't know which one of them I'm going to be led on. Now, how is it possible that a tzaddik like Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai has no idea if he's going to be led to to gan eden or to gehenim? So first of all, Marsha says, okay, that he's saying it. After all, as we know from earlier in the Masech, that tzaddikim are never certain about themselves. Even David says on himself, "Lulei ha'amanti," that I'm not sure. Shema yigrim achet. So he's saying that he wants to teach his talmidim anova. Akosev also says another possibility is he says that maybe what it means is not that he's saying I'm afraid that I'm actually going to be taken to Gehenna, but I'm afraid Hashem might decide that I'm going to die in a way that is more like Gehenna. We learned earlier in the Masechta that there's easier and harder ways for a person to die. You have the easier way that tzaddikim have, which is like a misas nishika, like pulling a hair out of milk. Then you have the harsher way that some people have to undergo, like trying to pull a rope out of a very tight hole.
We cannot say
Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. One second. So one second. So first, so Hakosef says maybe that's what he's concerned about. But the teva hamisa, that it might be the kind that's more similar, the kind that's more similar to Gehenna. Now there is an explanation that's brought in many places in Chassidus. After all, I mean we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Gemara mentions in Sukkah, Hakosef mentions it over here about the tremendous thing that he accomplished in Torah and for the Jewish people. How is there even a hava, you know, that he could think that he might go to Gehenna? So and the answer is that what a person accomplishes is that doesn't necessarily in his life doesn't necessarily tell us what his penimius is. So he was concerned all his life. He's been learning and teaching Torah and working on behalf of the Jewish people, and he saved them in the whole story of Aspasianus. But after all, he doesn't know what's with his penimius. Is his penimius where it should be? And now, so all his life, he was busy with his avodah. There was no time to deal with that. Now that he's about to pass away, now is the time to worry about where his pnimius is.
So now it's
his bonus that he never could take the time for because he was too busy being poil on behalf of the Jewish people. But now in his last moments is the time for that. With that said, there are also Mephoshim who say that maybe what he's concerned is there's the idea that tzaddikim's neshamas sometimes are brought through near Gehenna in order to bring out neshamas from Gehenna with them, and he's concerned that maybe it's going to be that. Maybe he's not going straight to Gan Eden. Maybe he has to make a detour first to Gehenna to schlep out such neshamas. There is also a fascinating explanation that the Ein Eliyahu, one of the Mephoshim on Ein Yaakov that's printed separately, explains. I've seen it in different other places also. In that story of Aspasianus, so what happened? You have the whole thing over there where he has himself smuggled out of Yerushalayim to meet Aspasianus, and Aspasianus tells him, "I have to destroy Yerushalayim because it's like the snake wrapped around the jar of honey. You have to break the jar in order to save the honey." And then Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai did, and therefore the same thing. The Buyonim are infesting Yerushalayim, and we have to destroy Yerushalayim to get rid of them. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai doesn't say anything. And then further down on that same Amud, Rabbi Aspasianus asks him for ask me anything, and I'll give it to you. And he asks for Yavne v'Chachameha and doctors to hear Rabbi Tzadik and so forth. And in both those cases, the Gemara points out that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai could have said something. In the first thing, he could have said, he could have continued the nimshal, so he could have continued the mashal. You take tongs and you remove the snake, and then the barrel was safe. In other words, the nimshal being, work on getting rid of the biryonim, and we'll assist you with that, but don't destroy the whole Yerushalayim in order to get rid of them. And in the second thing, instead of asking for Yavne v'chachameha and so forth, he should have asked that Aspasianus not destroy Yerushalayim. So in both those things, the Gemara says that like Hashem took away his chachma. So now there's an explanation that now in his last moments, he was thinking to himself, after all, in both of those things, did I make the right choice? So therefore, that's now who knows whether, yeah. So the loy evka, so he says, should I not cry? So the Gemara continues, Omer loy rabbeinu borcheinu. They told him, Rebbe bench us. Omer lahem, he says to them, Yehi rotzin sheyehe murder shamayim aleichem k'murder basav adam. May it be Hashem's will that you should have fear of Hashem like you have fear of human beings. Now, of course, Akol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Miyos Shemayim, Marsha points out that we know that a person can get Siyata D'Shemayim. Omru Loi Rabbeinu, or Talmid of Ad Kan V'Tu Loi, what only, if you should have Yiras Shemayim only as much as we have to human beings, shouldn't Yiras Shemayim be much greater? Omru Lohem Ulevai, he tells them Halavai, you should have at least that much, because at least the person has Moda Basav Adam, it tends to keep them away from Averus. If a person had the mentality that the Eivishter is watching him all the time, then that would keep them away from many different Averus. Yad Yosef brings over here also a point that when a human being tells you to do something, you do it right away. Halavai, at least you have the same kind of thing towards the Eivishter that he tells you to do right away, and you jump to do it right away. Teidu, and he says you can show it, you know it. Adam over avera. After all, a person does an avera. Omer shalo yirani adam. He says to himself, as long as people don't see me. So we see that people have a certain motor bus of adam. So at least you should have that kind of motor to the Eivishter. Bishas Ptirose, as he was about to pass away, Omalahem, he tells them, Panu Kalim Mipnea Truma, clear away the Kalim, the furniture and whatever in the house because of the Truma, because otherwise they're going to become Tom and Mess when I die. Vachinu Kisi L'Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda Shabbat, and prepare a chair for Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, who has come to escort me. Why dafka those two things? So Akosef points out, it shows that even at that last moment, he still had the head to think of such a thing and to realize that there's going to be Tumas Mess over here, and also to stress to them, they shouldn't think that Tzaddikim maybe are not Matame and therefore the Kalim are not going to be Tame. No, nevertheless, you still have to clear them out. The reason why Chizkiyahu There's a few different explanations why Chizkiyahu, one of them is, after all, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai saved the Jewish people in his time. If not, I mean, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, unlike Chizkiyahu saved them from Sancheiriv, and in his time, the Jewish people were saved from Sancheiriv, and the Beis Hamikdash stayed standing. But both of them were Marbitz Torah in the Jewish people. Chizkiyahu, we know, famously put a sword over there in front of the Beis Hamikdash and said, everybody has to learn Torah. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai accomplished the same thing, Ten Liyavna Mechachamel. So therefore, it's very appropriate that Chizkiyahu should come to be to escort him to Gan Eden.
Because Chizkiyahu, yeah, that's actually the Shmuel Asad Chizkiyahu Melech HaMashiach.
Yeah.
So basically, by Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, he like, even in the moment where he has to pass away, he's still believing
in Mashiach. Okay, I mean, it's a nice pieto, but I mean, Chizkiyahu was not Mashiach. In that case, you should say the Mashiach is coming to be Malavim. Okay. I hear. I mean, there is actually Rav Sadia Goin says that actually Rav Yochanan Zakkai himself was a descendant of Chizkiyahu. So therefore, it's very appropriate that his ancestor Chizkiyahu comes to be Malava him. There is actually a good deal of discussion whether Rav Yochanan Zakkai was a Kohen or not. There is some place where it implies that he was a Kohen. In that case, if we're saying he was descended from Chizkiyahu, would have to be on his mother's side or something. But it's not universally agreed to whether he was a Kohen or not. So he could have been actually from Beis Dovin, and in that case, he's descended from Chizkiyahu. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Gula, speaking of Tchias Amesim, and Tanya explains that all the Giluyim that will be La'asid Lavei all depend on Ma'asenu, Rabbi Desenu, everything that we accomplished during the time of Golos. Now, so we have in general, the general Avodah of the Jewish people brings the Gula. There's also the idea of Midah Keneged Midah. So that means the Avodah that we do that specifically will bring Tchias Amesim, number one is in general, when we do mitzvahs and we take the Gashmias of the world, which after all gets eventually wears out and gets destroyed and dies, and we make that a Keli and a Mishkan for Kedusha, which lasts forever. So that avoda leads to Tchias HaMesim. Second of all, in general, the idea of Birurim is you're bringing up, you're elevating the spark of Kedusha that fell down, and the Zohar has an expression that when something falls down from its level, it's called dead. So therefore, when you raise up that Nitzitz, you're bringing it alive again, and therefore that's a semblance of Tchias HaMesim, and therefore that leads to the actual Tchias HaMesim. Quick halacha, we were in the middle of talking about things that are mezonos. So yesterday we talked about if you have grain that was cooked together, it's actually a good example that I didn't think of yesterday is, let's say, for example, pura barley. When you take barley and put it in the cholin, for example, so the Alter Rebbe says that if the grains, if you cook it so much that the grains stick together, then you would say mezonis and alamichya on it. Otherwise, if they don't, then you'd only say hadoma on it. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe had said that you should be careful and only eat kashir, b'sei chasoda, and b'dievid, you say b'ronafashis. Then he continues over here that if you eat such things with soup, or you have, for example, noodles or whatever that you have with soup that were cooked, then you don't make a separate bracha on the soup because the soup is bottle and tuffle to the noodles. On the other hand, if you have only a little bit of latkes or fireful or whatever, and the main thing you want is the stew or the milk or whatever, then they're not bottled, then you would say shak. And then even though you eat in the mezonis, but still the liquid would be considered the ikker. The best thing he says is to be on the safe side, make shahakel first, in that case on the soup, and drink a little bit of it, and then make mezonis on the noodles. Because after all, they're not totally tofu, because after all, min dogon is important, so it's not completely tofu if it's there to give a flavor.